go.
Welcome to this podcast of the disagreeable nerd pot board games, not whatever.
Board game snobs present disagreeable nerd.
We're back.
You're not back, Sharday.
Yeah, we're temporarily back.
Temporarily.
Deej.
We never left. We've always been here watching.
I've missed everyone.
Listening.
We've just watched Dune, the second part of it, which we've had to wait many years.
I appreciate the fact this movie was simply called Dune Part 2.
Mm.
Yeah.
You don't like it when there's titles?
Just keep it simple.
Like they do, I like it when they do like Mission Impossible. They do one and then two and then three, but there's something underneath.
All of a sudden,
that.
Now they're
like,
reckoning.
Yeah, it's like new Mission Impossible
well,
four,
well, one, two, three.
But
have
this
anything.
Was a complete movie, being part one and part two.
That's
of
what
the book.
That's the thing is, I had to wrap my mind around that. Is that it is a one movie?
So right. You got to watch all 5 hours together to get the full story.
I understood it. It was there.
I was impressed how well he did it so that it is understandable.
Well, first off,
there's a lot.
We need to go shot by shot, scene by scene.
We'll be here all night.
It opens.
So number one, if you've not watched this show yet, don't listen to this. You need to go watch it. But it's probably out of theaters by the time this releases. But if in case you haven't, this will be just as good. This will be this synopsis. So like the first scene is just them, like they're just blowing stuff up because they're in the sand, right? If I remember correctly, because they've got Timothy Chalamet. And
oh, no, it was 3 hours ago. I've kind of forgotten.
Okay, I'm like thinking about what happened in
well,
the
Well, like
first
Timothy
part.
Chalamet, because it like starts off as like, oh, the Harkonnens, they're burning bodies because they've
oh,
won.
Oh, yeah. That's they're cleaning up.
They're cleaning
and
up.
And they're all hiding on like this dune. That's where it starts, is on a
they're
sand dune. And then here comes the Harkonnens, and they're all like, oh, they're after. They think that Timothy Chalamet might be the desert messiah.
Okay, so two things so far. It's Timothy Chalamet.
That's what I said.
And Harkonnens.
That's what I said.
Okay, I was
you
thinking.
Can continue
okay,
to,
did Jerry say Harkonnen?
He's saying Harkonnens.
Whatever they are. I don't care.
But well, they said it differently in the old movie, right? Harkonnen.
Yeah,
now it's Harkonnen.
I'm using the old English.
The old Dune
language. The old dude. Don't correct me.
The OG.
The old Dune.
But here's what I thought about Timothy and what's her name? Paul. Zendaya?
Her Chani. Name was
Chani.
Paul and
I was
Chani.
Thinking, for some reason, I thought they said Johnny the entire
I did,
time.
I did too.
I
did too. I was thinking
like, Johnny.
Johnny.
I like
I kept
that.
Thinking, here's Chani.
I want... Is there
yeah,
chemistry?
I heard Johnny until like chemistry? Halfway through, and then I heard Chani. I was like, well,
I was thinking about that.
Is there chemistry?
Johnny. No.
I'm not really feeling it. Like, I'm trying to.
I think they're both
I think
good
they're
actors.
Trying, yeah, they're good actors, but I think they're trying to make chemistry, but they're really just bros. Bruce
yeah.
Bruce,
this like, he was in friend zone pretty
it's
bad.
Weird.
But I did like her character because she's like, I'm going to teach this guy that she was atheist. She did not believe
she
that he might
yeah,
be. She is not dating the Messiah.
Right.
She's like, this dude, he's whack. I'm going to teach him how to ride a worm. Here's how we save water. And then he like does some weird things that's like people.
He does lots of
he likes
does
to get high. He likes to get high.
No, but no, his mom got high first.
Yeah.
She changed quick.
So Rebecca Ferguson, who I love, she is the greatest showwoman. But she was in The Greatest
she's
Showman.
Good.
She's good. She.
I do love her
yes.
as well.
So she goes and she drinks blue Kool-Aid. They give her this stuff. And they're like, this is only women can handle this. That's another thing. They say we're all equal here, men and women. We all fight. All the women fight. The men fight. But only women can survive drinking the blue Kool-Aid.
Right. I wonder if he was inspired by the blue milk from the teat of the water monster in Force
Ew.
Awakens.
Oh, for sure.
But this
everybody's
is
heavily
not,
influenced by the last Jedi.
This is either worm urine or worm gastric juices.
It's worm urine.
We don't, but no, but they stick it down
it's
the worm.
Blood, isn't it?
I don't. Really
it may be blood.
I wasn't getting. Urine.
I don't get blood from that.
They had to kill it and then they shoved it down its throat.
I don't think they killed it. Did
it
they?
It was too liquidy.
Yeah, they drowned it.
They drowned that worm.
They drowned the worm and then extracted it from its mouth.
R.I.P. worm.
Okay, I'm gonna go with that.
The worm could not survive in the water.
I will say that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It was squirming and then.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoiler
apparently
alert.
That must have been when I went to the bathroom.
It was exactly when
you were in the bathroom and you missed a scene where the little small,
I missed the worm.
The little short lady. I'm not going to say the little
she
short
was
lady.
She's very small.
She killed the only worm.
Like a small.
She killed a baby worm.
I didn't know she was small until I saw her standing next to Timothy.
Well, everybody's small
in
next
the
Timothy.
Scene of her.
He's tall.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Timothy's mom, Rebecca, she drinks the the blue juice, and then she becomes the
water of life,
the tribe's
Reverend Mother.
She becomes the tribe's shaman or whatever, and she gets face tattoos, yeah, and she just Reverend weirds Mother. Out.
Dude, she kind of becomes gangster, honestly.
She starts talking to her baby that's in the fetus. She has a fetus.
See, she was already talking to the baby.
And she's talking to the fetus.
She was already talking to the baby.
But she wasn't fully.
And the fetus is talking
being
back.
Being vocal about it until she drank the worm juice.
And the baby's like asking questions.
Well, yeah, because they can control the sex of their babies.
Which is awesome.
At conception, so go ahead, Cap.
Was in the book.
Can women not do that? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
In the book, was not his sister born? By the time he
took
over the
baby, there's a baby somewhere. Because she's a little blonde thing with blue eyes, and she's acting real weird.
Yeah. I thought his sister was
children
born.
Of the corn.
But
she
he also
she was
had,
exposed to the blue juice.
Yeah. But he also had a baby that died or something.
I don't
and then
know
I
that
think
part.
There was another baby. I think there was a couple more babies.
But
in
old
the
Dennis
book.
Villeneuve,
the children of doom.
He kept showing, like, right off the first thing, like, in the movie, he starts showing fetus. He's like, this lady's pregnant, and I need to make sure you understand. We can't just say she's pregnant. I'm going to show you the baby, the fetus. I'm showing you the baby right now. And he does. They kept doing shots of that.
It's like, we get it. There's a baby here.
And then she talks to the baby.
Cutting the baby, because when she drank that juice,
it got exposed.
It like went straight to the baby. And the baby's like born a crack baby.
No, it's born with the blue juice.
It's born looking like Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
So,
she's got fishy. Big eyes.
Fishy baby.
Wait, hey.
She's got big eyes.
Big eyes.
She does have
big
wide eyes. Set eyes.
Yeah, she does have wide
Tell
set
me eyes. She does not have
Her
big eyes.
Her eyes are very
and
far apart.
And then she turns into Furiosa in part three, which also takes place in the desert.
Basically.
It does not look like Charlize Theron.
That's basically what happened.
I was thinking that during the previews ahead of Furiosa, I'm like, how do you get Charlize Theron out of Anya Taylor-Joy?
Wait a minute. Do you think that you have to recast somebody that have to look exactly like them?
Similar,
you,
I would
similar,
hope.
You think?
Obviously, I don't. I mean, they can't do that because they're not literally the person as a younger person. And when they do it, it's kind of weird like they did in that Looper movie.
Yeah.
They did prosthetics. Speaking of that, I watched that Godzilla Legacy thing on Apple Plus because my wife bought an iPhone. I got a month's worth. I watched the thing with Kurt Russell. And there's the dude that they keep going back in time. And I'm like, how did they find somebody that looks just like Kurt Russell? It's his son.
Yes.
Yeah, I looked it up. Like, I didn't know.
I actually said
Wyatt
when
Russell,
we first
right?
watched it, it's just like Kurt Russell.
Anyways,
as a young person.
He looks good.
Yeah.
I digress. So they figure this out. And everyone, so there's half of the tribe is like, no, this Timothy is not Space Jesus. And the other half are like, no, he is. And Javier Bardem is the highlight of this film. Yeah. Next to the worm.
Yeah.
I was thinking he was going to die the whole time.
No, because
his name is Stilgar.
Stilgar, he did all the humor. He rode the worm, showed everybody how it's done. He did all the. He had all the great funny lines.
It was good.
He was just, he carried this show.
Well, calm down. I don't know how many great funny lines are in Part 2.
Right, basically he meant yelling out Lisan Al-Ghalib, like.
Yes.
At random times.
Like three times his reaction to something was humorous.
But this show is like 3 hours long. It's not meant to be funny. So you
like
need
one every hour.
One every hour. It's like pull out. Like,
and then Denise's like, all right, calm down, everybody.
Calm down, everybody. But this is too serious. It's serious.
Too much humor.
So he does stuff. Timothy figures things out, and they're all like very supportive of him. And all while it's going on, the bald guys with the alopecia.
The Harkonnen.
My people.
Yeah, they are.
Dude, they are terrifying.
They are terrifying.
Oh, my God.
They live on a planet with like a black sun.
Yeah.
That's why everything's white.
Black hole sun. Yeah, there was
lots of. I was really confused by like when they got like out of the outside, they became normal colored.
No, they were always white.
What's he doing in the WD-40 is my question.
No, that WD-40 is, it's like they're back a tank.
Lubing his joints.
He's still healing from the poisoning, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You get in those tanks. That's where Vladimir
that
Harkonnen.
That wasn't in the book.
But it was in the movies where he floats around.
I remember it being in the original movies right?
He floats around.
No, it was not in the original movie.
It was the two in Dune.
Was it?
Yeah.
I remember it's in the disturbing. Original Dune, like they unplug him at some point, like juices
and he starts
all come
laughing.
Out.
I'm not exactly sure what
why is he, is he an anti-grav suit?
Yeah, because he's joints. He can't walk.
Things. Oh. He's wearing the same thing that the soldiers wear to float around. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he actually needs it to move.
He's chomping.
Okay, so let's. I want to do an unnecessary reset. So Dune Part One, this family gets called, they're part of this whole empire. They get called to this planet, supposedly to take over, you know, ruling it from the Harkonnens. It looks like there's a coup. All the people die of the Atreides, and the Atreides boy and mama, Fergie Ferger, out in the desert.
Turgy.
Joining the natives to fight.
Yes.
And in the end of part one, they've just basically joined the natives.
The Fremen. They're walking away in the desert.
Part two picks right up, and I like the fact that there was very little, but it was very efficient exposition by Princess Irulan.
Yeah.
Who's her name?
Irulan. She's just reading off their little...
She's reading. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, my daddy did this. So the emperor set him up. Mm-hmm. And you kind of learn why later. But so then he sets him up. And so then basically this is a revenge story for Paul Atreides.
Sort of, kind of. Because at the same time,
this is super.
It's kind of a love story.
Is it?
I wasn't getting love story.
I was getting love there for a while. I really wanted it to be a love story.
That's kind of a distraction.
But it's not.
I think it was just a plot device.
I wanted it to be.
No, it's okay. So for me, I'm going to be the reference, the book guy.
Because you're the one that read it.
I have the book, and I read it.
You know Jerry,
but it's goofy. Jerry's
and Chani isn't much in the book either.
No.
But there is a love story there.
Yes.
But it's kind of like...
I love you until I stop breathing.
Yeah, he loves her.
Or until the Emperor's daughter shows up.
Until he drinks the Kool-Aid. He becomes Neo in the Matrix to conceal the
one. He becomes like...
He gets blue-pilled and Florence Pugh shows up. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Change my mind.
That's perfect. Zendaya's Florence. Man.
He does become like Neo in the Matrix.
So he's like able to see all these paths that he can take.
Which is a great power. He doesn't necessarily see the future. He sees the potential future.
And he doesn't know exactly which one's going to happen.
But he can kind of maneuver it. He's like, if I shoot nukes at these people.
Which they go into more detail of that in the book. He's like, basically, he can see infinity. He's kind of like Doctor Strange in Infinity War.
Yeah, correct.
Time Stone.
So... So here's the thing. I got the impression that old Rebecca Ferguson didn't buy into this. He's the spaceman messiah.
She was just seeking.
She was power. Just like, we gotta get revenge. And so she's just playing along. And she's like, okay, I gotta get him to drink the blue juice. And they're all like, oh no, men will die if they drink that. And then he drank it, and he like doesn't sort of kind of dies. He goes into a coma, and then here comes Shandaya, and she cries. And she like wipes her tears and on him, and he wakes up.
It's like part of the prophecy.
Because her name means
spring of life or something like that. Yeah. Okay, that's very moving.
Okay,
can you tell me that ain't love?
Quick question.
They can't even cry over the dead. She's in there crying for a man.
What's your question?
Quick question.
Go ahead.
Do y'all believe he fulfilled the prophecy, or did it just all happen to work out?
No, he fulfilled the prophecy.
I feel like he fulfilled the prophecy.
He's the man. He survived the blue juice.
Definitely.
My only question is, you think that she doesn't care about Paul at all, Jessica? Because if she didn't believe in the prophecy, then why would she have him drink that and die?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, you're making a good point.
Well, I think because the blue juice affects you, plus the spice makes you high.
Wait a minute.
So they're severely intoxicated with all sorts of chemicals in their brains.
Do you remember when she drank the juice, he was like, yeah, this is a Benny Jesuit thing, blah, 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 blah.
The Bunny and the Jets.
Yeah. Like she knows how to do this because she's a witch. She's just her family is passed down.
But Benny Jesuit.
You're making a good point. Is that she had him drink it. And so it's like she knew he would survive. So she must have had everybody. Only ones that really, really thought he was the Messiah guy was Javier. And I guess maybe his mom did kind of.
And the what they kept calling them in the South.
Yeah. The fundamentalists.
Fundamentalists.
The fundies. They were all about it.
So.
Which is where. Stilgar's from.
Yeah. Stilgar's like, this guy's...
And he's got the accent. I thought that was funny.
This guy's...
Kind of how he tossed that in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's just Javier Bardem, cannot fake an accent.
Again, Javier killing it here.
Okay. You know, the first movie I ever saw him in was No Country for Old Men.
Oh, my gosh.
Grumpy Old Men Living in the Country.
No Country for Grumpy Old Men.
And, of course,
the record choice of
his character is a despicable and weird and a psychotic killer. So I did not like him.
Wow.
I don't know. I liked him. I don't know. Something about him. I read the book.
The first movie I ever saw him in was Skyfall.
Okay. So that was going to say that. So then the second movie I seen him in was Skyfall, where he's also, again, just a crazy lunatic.
Not crazy. He's very fashionable.
But then in this movie, and I don't remember if I've seen him in anything else, but I really, basically, my thing is he's a really good actor because I hated him as the bad guy, which you're supposed to do. I mean, he was a despicable character in both those movies, but he's always like affected and has weirdness. But in this movie, he plays this part so very well.
Right. I think he was in that other Denny movie, Mother. Mm-hmm. Is that a Denny movie?
I don't know.
Yeah, with, he was. He's in Mother.
With
yeah,
Jennifer Mother. And Lopez.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Lawrence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem.
I think he was the husband that was also crazy.
Javier Bardem.
He also plays Ricky Ricardo in the Desi and Lucy movie, which I've never seen.
I've not seen either, but Javier Bardem is a thinking man's Benicio del Toro. He's got the affect. He's got the different things. You always kind of think, I kind of like him. Anyways.
Well, I'm not a fan of Benicio.
I like Benicio.
I don't like Benicio. But
he's
kind
of weird. He's kind of weird. Yeah. He's weird. I'm not saying he's not.
You know what? I'm going to say, I don't. His,
you don't like Stilgar?
No, Stilgar I like. Benicio del Toro.
Oh,
don't let me sidetrack you.
Okay.
Stay on Dune.
So, okay.
Benicio
so
has nothing to do.
Who, we're Dune with that.
Who would you say is your favorite character in this movie?
The worm. That Al Shabard. What's the bird?
I cannot say it. Like, I've been trying to memorize it.
Al Shalid.
Al Shalib.
Al Shalib.
Al.
Al Shalib.
Al. What's going on?
Al on the worm.
Al Shalib. Yeah.
So.
Played by Sean Bean.
No, because it doesn't die.
The little one did.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
So, seriously, DJ, who's your favorite character in this show?
Looking through the cast here and trying to, like, remember scenes.
They all do so well.
It's kind of hard because, like, everyone has.
I think Gurney.
Really like Gurney. I was about to say he's my least favorite. I was just about to say that just because he's just very, he's very one-dimensional and. Yeah. We've all made fun of the name.
I like
Gurney.
A good one-dimensional guy.
He is good,
and so much going on in this movie. I kind of I'm like
you know where he's at.
I'm attracted to the one-dimensional guy that like I know where
I
his.
I take that back.
Yeah,
I take that back. He's not. He's my second least favorite. He kills my least favorite, which was what's his face?
Bautista. Oh yeah, yeah.
That, oh my God.
I was so ready for him.
So he kills Batista in the weakest fight ever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Everybody beat up Batista. Everybody beat up Batista.
Chardet,
even
do you
my
have
man
a favorite
Austin Davis.
I was gonna say it's
Austin
hard.
Davis.
Like everyone has like
why is it Austin
played
Davis?
A part in
Butler?
This movie that I like. But
am I say Davis? Who's Austin Davis? Austin
Chardet, go ahead.
I'm trying to.
You know,
it's like it's between.
You like Fade?
I really do like his Diggler or Stilgar.
Stilgar,
but Austin.
Sorry,
he's a stickler for
stickler.
a
I
follower.
Really like him. I'm going to say I like Zendaya, too, even though she doesn't. I'm a fan of Zendaya.
She got gypped.
I really love Zendaya.
She got gypped.
I feel like she didn't have a whole lot. I feel
my
like she didn't.
My favorite character is
Jamis.
I'm just joking.
The doctor got to die.
He's the doctor from Star Trek.
Yes.
Jamis shows up in a dream where he teaches them. You know, it's like he's a brief dream sequence.
Although Rebecca Ferguson or
pick
Lady
a character.
Jessica, she.
Pick a character.
This is why you're not on. This is why your podcast failed.
How dare you not.
Indecisive.
I'm not indecisive.
She's picking
I'm
two
just
female
talking
characters.
About how difficult it is to pick.
Although
because they all have something. Okay. It's very all difficult.
Right. So I'm kind of a fan of Paul,
too. Because it almost kind of feels like I need to. The part three needs to come out. And like
you need to
just
pick a character. No, what you don't need to do.
Okay. Okay.
You, I don't Gabi, have to pick a character.
Well, she's thinking.
Okay.
Who's
I
your favorite?
I said what I thought.
Yeah,
well, because he's the guy that delivers the three humorous lines of the movie. It's Stilgar.
Oh,
but, I'd like to know why you gave me a fit when I said he's funny, and then it's like, what the? He said something funny every hour, and now you're like,
I feel like
Gurney.
It was between Gurney and Stilgar. They both were like the straight man. They both I knew where their allegiances were. They both were with Paul.
Loyal.
They both had their different.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gabi. I know you're still wanting.
I like the loyalty too.
I saw more range from Stilgar. Like he was goofy. He was like this devout kind of almost too much follower. He was serious. He was. You could tell he cared about people. I like seeing that range. Chalamet did a really good job, but he kind of just is like one note, just very dour.
Gabi,
which I know
actually,
that's the character.
He yells sometimes.
With
he
Gobs,
yells.
He never likes
I
the
like
main
when
character.
He yells.
Really?
I want to see him.
I need more
like,
yelling.
You know, shoot finger guns and, you know.
He's not funny.
I know.
You should watch The King.
I have.
Oh, well, then you shouldn't watch the kid because you probably had. But his mom, she did that Emperor Palpatine voice several times. Do it!
Yeah.
But here's why Austin Butler is the dude that everybody talked about. He can show surprise despite the fact that he had no eyebrows. Like they shaved the man bald.
A range of emotions with nothing.
And literally, what I liked is like when you see him, you know he's going to be stabbing everybody. He literally, in every scene, at random stabs somebody. There's literally like the opening scene is just him going, this blade, and just stabbing just people around.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the worst. Yeah,
the guy behind him was like complaining about something.
He just stabbed random people for no reason. Which is why I loved him. Plus, his character was very one-dimensional, though. I will say that. But he added a sense of
menace.
Yes.
He had really good menace. But also, I don't think his character is one-dimensional. Like, he seemed to be plotting and, like, showing emotion when things were happening and just kind of, like, late. Like, when I thought his character being a psycho would just be a psycho.
I meant to say monochromatic.
I think...
He's definitely monochromatic. That's true. All of the Harkonnens are.
I wish they had done a little bit more between him and the girl you said was from James Bond, the last movie, Time to Die.
Leia Seydoux.
Like, they could have, given him a little more... character depth and dealing with her, like
Fenring.
But when they start off describing his character as he's a psychopath, it's like, okay.
But shows up and seduces. So she literally shows up, says, "Put your hand in this box," and then next scene is like, "Okay, we can control him."
That was a double entendre.
By the way, I'm pregnant.
I got this baby.
Yeah. So that the Bene Gesserits are like the whole. They like pull the strings from everything. They've got it all figured out.
So, are they good or bad?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
They're like just women.
They don't have a side. Yeah,
they're just women.
They have a plan.
Their side is we plan.
Jerry, what are you trying to say?
They said it. We don't hope.
They're
we
just sowing chaos.
They do.
Okay,
as they do.
So we've shut of course. Up.
But then the Darth Vader moment. Are you not going to bring up the Darth Vader?
Well, I was going to say we can progress through the movie. There's different factors. We can kind of hit the story, but also your favorite characters. Do you have a favorite moment?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's discuss that after we get through discussing the movie.
Dang, those questions.
What's the Vader moment you're talking about?
Were you in the bathroom for that?
Maybe. Did it involve a worm?
He was only in the bathroom for the worm.
No, I'm talking about that when, he's related to the Harkonnens.
When they drained the lizard.
No.
When they drained the worm.
Are you talking about when they were all talking and he told him to silence? He did the dark.
No. He drinks the blue juice and he can see everything in the past. And he's like, his mom is the daughter of Vladimir Harkonnen. Oh. And it's like, that's my grandpa.
And he is told this by his unborn sister who is an adult.
Yes. Because he's tripping. That blue Kool-Aid.
He's told that he's the grandson of the Harkonnen. His mother is the daughter of Vladimir by his unborn sister who is an adult.
Yeah.
Pre-Furiosa.
Cousin of Fade. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
It's pretty.
You know why? Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, man.
All right.
How do you spell Shyamalan's name?
C-H-A-M-L-E-T. There's a vowel in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah, he's got some weird name.
So he's already getting visions due to the spice. Then he drinks the blue juice, and the visions really kick
in. He's like full time.
Yeah.
He can see forwards and backwards in time.
He's riding worms. I'd like to think.
He's a worm rider. So what did you think about him, the worm riding scene where he rides?
That was amazing.
I was wondering how they were going to pull that off.
How do you feel about the effects in the movie?
They were.
I'm going to tell you, this whole movie
affected me.
It was amazing.
Yes. I think at one point I wasn't like breathing because I was just so intense. Like I was going, and then like you know.
I mean, I'll
like,
save okay, my rating okay, and everything for the end, but
I will.
I mean,
I'll say something about the design of the scenes that I think he did very well on. So it kind of had that 80s feel a little bit. Where they're focusing in on everybody's face up close and where they're talking. It's like, this person, just look at this person, focus in on what they're saying. And that's a natural thing. If you frame someone's entire face on the screen, your eyes are drawn to it. The same thing does whenever people are talking, he zooms in on their face, but then every other shot is a landscape. I want you to be impressed by what you're seeing. This spaceship or this thing going through. But the use of sound in this film, is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. There are fight scenes where there's no real sound. It's very quiet. He doesn't do your typical thing that you see in a lot of action movies where there's just this loud smacking sound stuff in the background. Yeah. It's like, be quiet and watch this. And then it builds anticipation. Every sound from the worms, from the guns, from the swords, from all the little machinery, everything they do, this was spot on amazing. And it is added to the overall feel of the film.
There's one sound, and I understand why they use it. It's very effective in what it does. No, that one as well.
It when the worm's about to come?
That's like the Christopher Nolan Inception. Whoa. Like anytime there's like, okay, big reveal type moment. Yes.
Which one, DJ?
When they're fighting and those weird xenomorph looking things are like surrounding them in the Colosseum fight with Wade Fathom. And they do that. It's like that clicking sound. Well, it's like, that is so, and I get it because it is weird and it's supposed to make you uncomfortable and alien.
Let's alien ASMR.
Is there not any other alien sound we can find?
That's kind of hard to come up with. I like the sound, the music, the music. They like reached down and got some Vangelis stuff going on, like some Blade Runner.
I'm going to tell you, I don't remember a single piece of music because I feel like it was part of the movie.
They blended it in.
That
that's what I'm saying. But like, it all seemed like they nailed the fluid.
Yes,
I wasn't like distracted by, oh, I like this music. It was just part of it.
Yeah, it's great.
Is there a part you didn't like about this movie? Guys, all the thinking on that one.
I think overall, if it was up to me, if I had to have one complaint. I was anticipating the last scene, last battle. It felt very much like they sacrificed the big fight scene at the end and focused more on the Austin Butler and all that other fighting afterwards. That like the big battle there was not that epic. It was neat seeing the worms and all this mess go on. If it was one complaint, stretch the movie out another 5 minutes and show me more of that. And I'll never forgive him for Tim Blake Nelson's scenes being cut.
Yeah. I mean, I really had no problems with any of the movie.
That's my one complaint. I'm stretching.
I didn't really think about that until you said that.
I'm stretching it.
It doesn't bother me because I feel like they focused where they needed to on the story. Yes. The battle isn't really story.
But, I mean, we're building up to, like, that's, like, to me, that's the climax. I mean, I understand he's fighting the guy at the end.
Yeah, but they had like, no chance.
But though. They're building up this worm thing. They're building up all the fundamentalists that can fight down south. And they just briefly show it.
Yeah. It's very brief.
I mean, because there wasn't a fight, really. It was just kind of they came in and massacred everybody.
Yeah. I know, but I want them to like just wreck house with them worms.
I kind of like that it wasn't briefly. Too much.
Quickly. Traffic. That's what happened very quickly.
Yeah. Did what, Chardonnay?
Like, I like that it wasn't too much traffic.
The worm traffic.
Like, I understood everything. Like, sometimes I get confused when I'm watching movies that has a lot going on. Like, and this did have a lot going on, but that he made it where I understood it. Like, who was killing who and who about to take over who.
Yes, I appreciated the focus, like I was saying.
Okay, I got it.
It was where it needed to be. It wasn't like a freaking...
Oh, shaky cam.
It wasn't a Christopher Nolan. It wasn't, Tenet.
Yeah.
No, Tenet, I was straight up confused. I didn't know what was going on.
This, if you have no idea about the book or anything else, this you can follow along very easily. Mm-hmm.
That is a feat of itself. People that have no idea about what Dune is or anything about it have been able to follow this and love the movies
because that's true.
And the sandworms, they don't go in a serpentine when they're under the sand; they go in a straight line, which means that they must suck sand in. The physics of that.
And fart it out.
And propel themselves. That's how they...
Like a jet ski.
That's how they... Because they don't serpentine. They suck the sand in, and they go that way. That has to be how they... And that whole, you have to sea walk or whatever across the dune so you don't make noise. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know why that brings me joy to see
these people. It's not so you don't make noises, so that it's not rhythmic.
It's the natural... sound of the sand shifting.
No worm would ever catch me across. I am so white. I have no rhythm. Oh, they would never. They would never detect me.
I thought it was kind of interesting how they sucked the waters out of the bodies.
That was nasty.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
That was
taking their fluids.
I mean, that was kind of cool.
And then they like, Harvey is like, yeah, we don't drink this. Like, you protest too much there. It's like, no, we use this, like, for coolant.
Don't worry. This goes into a pool.
Yeah.
And we don't touch it.
We don't touch it. We're not canalizing other people.
I'm glad you said that.
They're in there with little straws.
I wasn't completely sure if he was saying.
Just sticking to people. like a juice box.
They're in there screwing that thing.
Even Shandae, she's over there sucking this stuff out of this guy. They're like, don't worry, we'll use this. Anybody who dies, they dump it into the pool, and you're there.
Chardonnay, what were you saying?
I was unsure when he was saying this is full of chemicals or something, but we still...
Yeah, because the Harkonnen are
use
nasty.
It. I wasn't sure what he was saying, so they weren't drinking it.
No.
I needed that clarified.
Well, they said they weren't.
They could use one of them survival straws.
The Harkonnens all have alopecia and various other diseases from their
and
home.
And WD-40, because they bathe in it.
Okay, Harlequins or Harlequins?
Harlequins.
Neither one of those.
Okay, either way.
Harkonnen.
The Harkonnens. They are absolutely disgusting. Like, I couldn't really look at them. They were
like
grossing me out bad.
Do you not like bald people?
No, it wasn't that. It's their teeth.
Bald
and they
people
were
are two
spitting,
of her favorite people.
And Austin was drooling at one point. It was
half
grossing
the people
me
in this room, sure, okay. They are bald.
No, I'm not talking about the baldness. I'm just talking about their just everything about them.
I was going to say.
The black teeth.
Ew. And like,
this movie is, it's not. It is pleasant visually due to the great cinematography, but they do a very good job in making, yes, the Harkonnens a gross,
people,
detestable,
disgusting.
I mean, the guy's licking the knife blade, the other guy's bathing in WD-40, they're sweaty, and he punches the Dave Bautista, and he's like got stuff drooling out of his mouth and kisses the boot. It's gross.
And if you've watched the original, yeah, the Harkonnen are crazy. And they did a great job.
I mean, they put Sting in that.
They put Sting in that.
And underwear.
Yes.
I mean, that was crazy.
Sting
enough
fought this guy in his underwear.
Yeah.
It's not a pleasant aesthetic with the Harkonnens, which obviously
I mean, they,
is
it,
not supposed
it worked
to be
for what they did. I just know, like, dang.
So, I mean, are they supposed to be like the Germans? I mean,
wow, God.
The Germans?
Dang.
Wow. Space Germans?
Space Germans?
No.
I mean, they're all extremely
no
white.
No.
They were marching off?
No. Just because they march and they're bald.
The Wormans?
No. You did that to make that joke.
No.
You did that to make
yeah,
that
did
joke. Yes, you did.
But actually, they weren't the Wormans. They were anti-Wormen. They were war men, but they weren't Wormen. They should have just got some dewormer and took that up there.
I'm just letting you get it down. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're all just waiting.
Do it.
Just letting you
get it.
How'd you kill that werewolf? I got a kitty cat, and I used this medicine on him the other day. Don't say we didn't worm you. I hadn't said that one yet.
You done?
Come on. Get it out.
Get out. You almost
did. And
keep
I'm going to say Paul Atreides wormed his way into the Emperor's seat.
That's there's something else.
I think that might be
that's
it.
That's not it.
He's worming the seat for him.
Give it a worm.
Yeah, give it a worm.
Yeah.
I can't come up with those like that. Like, I'm like, my brain's
I want
totally
to know
empty
how each one of those worms were already broken. Like, they knew how to steer them. Have they been riding those worms so much that the worms just know?
Yeah, they worship them.
So they worship these worms.
Wormship.
And they jump on the back. You hook them, and you just kind of just
hookworms.
Hookworms. Exactly.
Well.
So the worms just
dang
respond
it, I'm really
to this
trying to
I
think of
one. I think
they
just respond to the tug.
Like 50-ton worm, it's like, oh, I got to turn left.
And as long
is
as
they're in a circle, is it a ringworm?
They're the Uber. They're the Uber of the dunes.
And as long as they're, I guess as long as they got the hooks in them, they stay above ground.
Yeah, because they go under.
Because I noticed with the hook, like, open up their senses.
Yeah, that was like,
kind of pulling my hair, dude. Like,
worm go hairs.
Just go over the nostrils.
Ah!
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, it's like reins on a horse.
Right. That's what I was, yeah.
I kind of feel like I have, like, a sort of, like, I don't know if that, Jerry's the nurse, PETA, is it PICA? Like,
PICA,
where you're, like,
where you're craving
you
iron.
Crave sand.
You do, and you are iron deficient. We just
so
discovered.
I was like, this sand looks so great, and I'm like, oh my god.
You were talking about how you see sand, and you
it like looks like it like will taste good.
That's
I
exactly
don't know
what happened to Austin Butler. He was drooling. Maybe you're part Harkonnen.
Ew, no, gross.
Sand surfers.
Sand surfers.
That's what they were on the worms. They're sand surfing on the worm.
Right, which was amazing. That scene.
Yeah.
Never, that yes, that's a great scene.
It was good. It was good. It's a good.
The whole
good
show
movie
was crazy, though. Like, to just. If
there
you,
is a lot going
on. If you go to describe what just happened, as I have partially done, it sounds insane.
And you've only described, like,
A little bit of the movie. I can't even begin.
And I'm still processing.
Yes, it's still one of those things that it's just, it's right, absolutely.
Right. What do we think about Christopher Walken?
I love the fact that Christopher Walken was the emperor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't get to really be Christopher Walken until the very, very last where he talks briefly. Where it's like, what are y'all doing?
Baron.
Baron.
My deep. My deep.
What's with the worms? Where's Paul Atreides? And it does. There's like there's a brief moment where you see it, where you hear him for just a moment, and then it's like, okay, we got to cut this. Go on.
Take my daughter's hand. Maybe you'll rule Doom. I give you Arrakis.
That's a good one. And Batista was the worst character.
I
remember when we talked about the first part one of Dune, I said I didn't like him because it felt like his character was just, it was just there. He didn't really do much.
He kind of seemed cowardly to me. Yeah. Like his character wasn't, sure. I'm sure that's how he was supposed to be, but.
He was inept.
He was very inept.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not Batista, because I think he's a good actor, at least in.
Just his character.
Blade Runner 2049, I like.
Yeah, yeah, he did good in that.
I don't think
he did good in Guardians of the Galaxy? He does good in Guardians.
Drax is like a perfect character made for
Yes, him, that's, yeah. But in comparison to like Austin Butler, who just shows up and then is like wrecks Arrakis just by bombing it.
Just bomb stuff.
He's like, why didn't you think of this? Like, okay. Just bomb it. Like, why did you just bomb them? Well, they're in the sand, we can't find. No, just bomb them, dude. And that's what they did.
Just bomb every rock. That's where
and
they could
like,
be.
Yeah, tell everybody we just bombed. It's sand. It's how can you not find
there's
them?
There's sand and then there's rocks.
Just bomb all the sand.
They're not in the sand.
They're in the rocks. It's like you really, it really showed how inept it is. And that scene where that little carrier thing is just bombing, that was great.
Yeah.
That, like the sound of that. And it's like, why didn't you think of that?
Yeah, I loved like the aerial, like the gun that was like,
yes,
like a burst
yes.
fire. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, they're out there.
And what is that, like some sort of rail gun, the Fremen head?
Yeah, there's like blowing lasers through these giant machines.
They're blowing up all the oil.
The machines! Like, why didn't they just like take one of those guns when like all the troops were just lined up and just like cut them all in half?
You can't do that.
I was just thinking about the fight scene again with Austin and Timothy. So I tell you what I like about Austin's character.
His abs.
His body.
I wasn't thinking that. But I like how he wasn't like fighting with emotion. Like he did really act as a psycho. Like he wasn't fighting emotionally, but like he almost like a loyal fighter.
You can't tell with his no eyebrows.
Just for the thrill
of
it.
Like he was fighting and he was like, good fight, and died.
Yeah.
Like I like that.
Spoiler alert. Remember she said he had honor.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. She did say that. Like, he was a psycho, but had honor, and I like that.
He makes for up for his eyebrows and honor. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you know, he could have just, like...
He didn't fight.
You know, if you're a true psycho, I don't know how psychopaths
work. That's what I was saying.
He didn't
like,
have
he just stood
fight.
Back and watched.
He could have, like, tried to kill Chani or
something.
Yeah,
he was just chilling. I like that.
Like, the whole
chilling.
Thing
so,
in,
okay,
the, in the, like, the big ship when he first came in, Paul, and he just stood back and watched, and, like, he watched him kill his uncle, and he's just like, Grandpa!
That's why I was
him like a meth face.
He said, Grandfather. Stab in the neck. He said, you'll die like an animal.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
So, I think that's what I liked about his character.
I am conflicted. Okay, I'll put this out there so everybody can tell me how wrong I am, because I'm
go for
honestly
it, Jerry.
this is a deficit I have.
It's a safe space.
So Chani gets upset as soon as she realizes he is the Messiah. I want to know what happened there. She's all mad at him before he decides he's going to go with the Emperor's daughter, but she's already mad. It's like, oh, you drank the blue stuff and now you think you're this. And he's like, oh, everybody follow me.
Consider her emotions. Like,
I know, but he's like
man.
Leading. He's leading a troop. He's trying to save her planet. He's going to save her planet. And she's mad at him because what?
I think it's because he told her that if he did that, it would start a war and everybody would die.
Oh, yeah.
And also, she didn't want him to drink the blue thing because she didn't believe in it. And that she knew it would kill him. Which it pretty much did.
They're a religiously mixed household.
Yes.
That's exactly.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go. I was trying to think of a thing. Yes. He
broken.
One's an unbeliever.
One's an unbeliever.
And one's the Messiah.
And the one's the Messiah. Well, that's a rough thing to.
Not
just when you think. Got everything lined out. Honey, I'm telling you, I can walk on like a wide
worms. Yeah, no. And Stilgar's like, he did this, 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 and this. And she's like, Yeah, but...
He came back from the dead, honey.
Kind of coincidental.
He come back from the dead. I don't believe it. You cried on him, and he'd come back.
You put your tears in his mouth.
It was very unpredictable, because, like, I was thinking he was going to, like, go to... I mean, not knowing anything about the book. I was thinking they were going to be together.
I did, too.
Do you remember in his vision of the future, in the first movie, she stabs him?
Yeah. Mm. She's like, I ain't having your cheating self.
Oh, yeah. I do remember
they
that.
Come together, they kiss, and then... She stabbed
That's
him.
Right. I do remember that.
I'm waiting to see that in the future.
Crazy women.
So, Fremen. Does anyone...
They were Fremenies.
That's what you do for love.
Frenemies.
Fremenies.
Fremenies. That's what they were. Fremenies.
Fremenies.
What do you call that when you're your friend and your enemy?
Frenemy.
That's what I was trying to go
but
for.
But you said Fremenies. Fremenies.
Fremenies. Fremenies.
It works. It works.
Okay, I think we're moving on.
Sorry. Sidetracked.
That's Jared.
Does anyone know, y'all referenced it, so I think y'all did, because I've only read the first book. Do you know any, like, where does it go?
He turns into a worm.
Not him, his son, right?
Somebody turns into a worm.
His son is part worm?
Wait, his son turns into a half worm.
Wait, who?
They turn into the worm. Wait a second, I'm sorry.
And becomes the god emperor.
And he's part worm? Like, but can he talk?
He is a worm.
Did y'all... There was probably was a movie called Children of Dune.
Yes, it is.
I saw the title.
It had young X-Men guy.
Yeah, Professor X. Young Professor X.
Oh, what? Picard?
No, young one.
Oh, McAvoy.
Yes, James McAvoy was, I guess, the son of Paul.
Right? So I have not seen the original Dune.
I have not either.
It was a miniseries, and it like was renowned for being horrible.
So Jerry's seen it, and he...
Well, that his nostalgia's kicking in.
I was like, it's David Lynch, right? He's like liking it, or says it's
cool. So, like right before he made Twin Peaks, he made Dune.
David Lynch is known for making weird things that only some people like.
Indeed.
Yeah, and Dune Messiah, Paul's the emperor, and he jihads everybody, like billions of people across space.
So that his vision comes true.
Right.
So does he make Arrakis a paradise?
I think so. He dies. He like just dies. He just
Chauncey kills him.
He snaps him. And then somebody turns into a worm.
His son.
His son. You're right. His son turns into a worm.
Never read the books.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was that Wikipedia?
I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
All I know
I remember
is
I retain random knowledge.
I remember trying to read through the book and going, this is complicated. And then there was some guy that did a deep analysis on the books.
Mm.
And so I'm like listening to his podcast or his YouTube videos both about him, and I'm like, and then finally gets to the end, he's like, yeah, it gets crazy. It's like people start doing weird stuff.
His son, what was his son's name? It was also something very boring.
It's like, I'm gonna look.
Joe.
It's like something like that. Yeah, it's later works in for Leto.
I want to name my son Leto, by the way.
Jared. But I can only think of Jared.
No.
Just the first Jared
name. And his middle name will be Atreides.
So why does everyone hate Jared Leto?
Because
he's a freak.
Like, what do you mean? I don't know him. Like, I just know
he's a possible pedophile.
Oh.
Who is?
Allegedly.
I didn't know this.
That's one big reason.
I know he was from the band, and that's
allegedly.
And
allegedly.
Then the movie he was in.
Allegedly.
Leto
he's a creep.
2.
Okay, that's why everybody hates him. Okay.
It's just Leto the 2nd, I think.
What?
Is the boy's name.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
And then there's twins. There's a girl named Gamana or something like
that. Did you guys get like chill bumps at any moment, like goosebumps?
Yes.
Like at what point?
That's a good thing. As I was watching this movie, I really, really, really liked this movie. But at no point
You didn't feel powerful?
I didn't feel like this emotional connection to it. And like, when they got brought in Desert Power at the very end, brought on the worm attack, I was like, yeah.
It's like,
but it was so brief and so like I just it didn't it
did
didn't
you
get
not
me.
Get
it's like Ender's Game when they all come in,
but that scene where he's first riding the worm, that was
a good one.
That didn't get you.
That was a good
that
one.
Was awesome.
I don't know, this one is, to me, this was like all spectacle. It was so very well done, very well acted, but it didn't really connect with me.
I think it doesn't connect because most of the characters are not, I don't want to say they're not likable. They're not relatable.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's so like most big sagas, it's like you've got this hometown farm boy who becomes a Jedi. You got Luke. And so it's like you can have some sense of
relationship with this. You understand what's going on, where this is kids of Duke and it's this and it's that, and everything that's going on is something that you can't really relate to.
So yeah, I can't relate to anybody in the year 10,000.
Well, I was going to say, he does a good job, and that may be lending to your point, is that everything is very alien.
Yes.
Yeah. Like all the ships.
But there's no aliens in it.
The worm.
That's not an alien.
It's a worm. Well,
it's not a xenomorph, but it's an alien.
That's
for us on
Earth.
Is it
a desert alien? Well,
then technically they're all aliens. That's true. Because they're not on Earth. Because Earth doesn't exist in this universe.
That's true.
But I love this universe.
There's like that weird spider thing in the first movie.
Yeah, that was the...
What was it?
What was that spider
thing? It was like only for a moment. It was like eating out of a bowl, and
yeah,
the lady like sent it out.
That was some
hearkening thing. That was a hearkening pet. Also another creepy thing.
Another arachnid.
So that's what I'm saying.
Things in the arena, were those aliens? They were making the weird clicking sounds?
I don't know.
So the guy that he was, his like doctor dude, I thought he died for some reason in part one. I thought they killed him.
He did.
They broke his neck.
Well, I thought that was him in the arena with Austin.
That was not him in the arena.
That wasn't him?
The doctor, what's his face? What doctor
are you talking about?
From the first one who betrayed everybody, he died.
No, yeah, he gets his head cut off.
Yeah, he's dead.
Well, who was in the arena?
That was not him.
A clone?
No, it was not him.
That was literally just a random Atreides soldiers.
Of the same ethnicity, Gabi.
Dude, I'm with you. I thought that was the doctor.
My bad.
No, I'm going to shame both of you.
Apparently, I'm...
This is why y'all's podcast doesn't exist anymore.
No, you can't do that. Do not do that.
Yeah, my bad.
But me and Gabi.
Wow.
Why was he not drugged?
Because it was told. He's like, he I didn't he drug him.
It was a surprise.
Give him a
for
challenge.
Him.
That was his gift.
He literally said it.
Yeah, I know.
You call yourself a. I can't believe you, Pete.
Okay. Yeah.
Can't believe you, Pete.
Wow.
Believe you, people.
Really
Gabi's the one that asked this.
You people. Insane.
Yeah, they mentioned the whole drugging thing like 4 times, I feel like.
Multiple times.
I was really glad that he didn't.
He said, no drugs for you. And then he went out there and they're like, he's not drugged.
They said,
why don't they stop the
times?
Fight?
Yeah,
he's like,
it's
a surprise for him.
Thank you for backing me up, God.
Kind of show him what Thank he you for backing can me up, give, DJ. You know, what he can
Because he wanted it to be a surprise, a birthday gift for him, but also he didn't care.
Yeah, that's the greatest gift you can give somebody is allow them to fight somebody undrugged. Have you ever fought a drug
haven't
person?
You ever wanted, haven't you ever wanted to fight a sober person?
Yeah. That's hard. Gabi?
It's easy to fight drugs.
Yeah, it's easy to fight. You're out in the corner knocking crackheads off the curb. Hey, take that.
So, yeah, this movie is very alien, so I think it is kind of weird to connect to.
It's very alien.
I like his transition from that knocking crackheads off the curb. Okay, that's fine. All right.
I would agree with that, though. I did not have an emotional connection.
I didn't really care deeply about any of the characters. I mean, I liked Chani. I liked Stilgar. You understand Paul. You like Gurney Halleck just because of Josh Brolin.
But is this story about people or is it about a broad?
It's like a huge epic scale thing. Like religion and enslavement and
so
just all that type
of
stuff.
What's the overall theme of this movie? Because every movie has
hope.
Well, that's a good one.
Hope for sure. Because they're always talking about paradise, like living and happy.
It's literally Space Jesus.
Space Jesus, yeah.
Trying to get to paradise.
Desert / Space Jesus.
Well, but it's hope versus not blind hope. Like just blindly following somebody. Like that's Chani's point of Chauncey.
What was Chauncey?
It's Chani.
Chani's like.
Remember, because you thought it was Johnny.
Oh yeah.
Johnny. So they're trying to let you know, her and the other girl that died, unfortunately. You know, they're like the non-believers.
Why was she there?
She stayed behind.
Why?
She's a spy. Yeah, and so that Austin Butler could fry somebody,
could light her on fire.
Well, that was pretty rough too.
Just to immolate her. Yeah.
Immolation.
She was
no
a spy
breathing
for.
Thank you, Papa
Fremen,
Roach.
Right?
Huh? Yeah, she wasn't a spy for the Ark.
She's a Friedman now.
Oh God!
All right.
She's a fry for the Fremen.
R.I.P.
The Fremen fry.
R.I.P. French fries. R.I.P. Anyways, what was the overall theme? You said hope. I like that. That's a good thing. I like hope.
No, it's very like.
But I don't hope. I plan. That was my favorite line in the movie. It was the Benny Jesuit lady, the space nuns.
She's like the
space nuns.
the space nuns that are pulling the string. There's something very interesting about this whole thing. Everything in the universe. Here's what
behind every great man stands a woman.
Yes,
and it's a very tall woman.
So can I just point out that like it's all women that are pulling the strings. That none of them get married to these people. They do get married, but they really don't.
They just go seduce them.
They just go seduce them and have babies. And they're like, we got it. We can't.
They're like sirens.
You know? They're like, these people are getting too strong. We need to have a secure an air here. And they're
raping people.
They haven't
basically. They were basically doing that.
There's some stuff going on. Seducing. Austin Butler got seduced. He's like, what happened? Why are you following me, ladies?
Yeah, did she use the voice on him?
She used the voice on him. And that's not consent.
And that's not consent. True. And
there's a bunch of rapist women out there.
And then they're like, they have their own subculture where like they have their own, this is Mother So-and-So, this is the Mother Tree. It's like they...
Mother Teresa.
Yeah, it's like literally, it's like, all right, this one died, so you're going to be on The View now, and you're going to decide what's going on across the universe. That's what's happening. And it's all... And that's... Anyways, I think that's a very interesting...
So is the big
like space
big
nuns.
Jesuit lady, is that the mother of Florence?
I think so.
Wait, what?
No, she was the advisor to the
I know, but
I don't know who the
it
mother
was the same
of
with Lady Jessica that wasn't the wife of Leto.
That's true.
I don't think they. Oh wait. Oh, you Oh, I see what you're saying. Was she with the emperor?
Right. And is Florence her daughter?
They did not say that in the movie.
But was it implied though?
I didn't get that.
No, no.
But I don't get lots of things.
Yeah.
It seems like this entire universe is one big matriarchy.
It is. I mean, they're the one.
I don't feel like I had to have any
women rule the world
connection
as
to
Beyonce
the movie.
Said.
All the single ladies.
All the single ladies.
But I did feel very goosebumpy, but not like emotional.
Can I say something crazy?
You have.
You have the floor.
Why are you asking now?
Go.
Why are you even?
I like part one better.
Okay,
you are.
I was
going to
ask this. I was
out of your freaking mind, man.
I will have to say,
you're out of your mind.
You're insane.
You're right. That was crazy.
That was in.
I dare you.
Maybe you should edit that out.
To watch the first part again.
Me and Gabby watched it last week.
Today, and I was like,
you don't even remember this show that we watched an hour ago.
Me and Sharday watched it last week.
We just watched
you
it.
Y'all remember.
And I was like,
Wednesday.
Man, that was
I will
really
say,
good
Dune
movie.
Part no, one, I Dune? Felt a more
and you know
emotional
why? You know why? You know why?
Emotional.
Duke Leto.
Yeah.
Dude,
I love that guy.
You know,
even
him and his dad.
He kind of went out quick
connection.
And fast.
Yeah.
He goes, spits in that guy's face.
No,
that's,
I will
that was
say,
my point,
I
though.
Felt I, the emotional, con- sorry. No, I no, felt ahead. The emotional connection in part one, but I did really love part two. Like,
because
there was so much more.
Like and I know this one had the sound and everything was
had
perfect.
Bagpipes.
But in this, the first one, I specifically remember the sound editing and
the bagpipes.
Like, just the music and the explosions and the.
Did I mention the space bagpipes? The Atreides theme from bagpipes. The first one. I love bagpipes, as I am Irish.
I knew Jerry was going to say that with his
red hair.
I thought bagpipes were Scottish.
Yeah, they are. I was completely
close enough.
I'm culturally appropriating that. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's all that thing. It's all graceful.
I enjoyed amazingly part one graceful. A little bit more.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I didn't have an emotional connection with two.
And also Duncan Idaho. Just saying.
I didn't like Duncan Idaho.
My boy.
I like Jason Momoa too, but I didn't really.
He just
he's
like
okay.
Has this like carefree but caring, passionate spirit.
The space surfer,
space surfer.
Yeah,
he should have been the one to ride the worms. He would have been like, didn't cowabunga.
That's right.
Well, he'll come back in the next
hang
one.
Ten. He could hang his 10 toes over the edge of the worm, hanging 10.
But then the worm teeth would get you.
Are those teeth or like just hairs?
Those are phalanges.
They're teeth because their swords are made.
Oh, that's right. They stab you with worm
knife.
Swords.
But it could
that's
be
right.
Hard hair, much like
oh,
a
yeah,
rhino.
Like
Chris knife?
That's a good point.
A Chrysler? Yes, Chris knife? They're riding a Chrysler.
Yes. Sorry.
Sorry, Dave.
Felt an emotional connection with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I got kind of teary-eyed in the first one.
Yes.
Not because of Duke, but I did like Duke and I did. His death and everything was all emotional and mm-hmm. that felt nice.
not nice, but you know, like I had an emotion. I felt emotions. It was a cool death.
I love death.
Of all the ways he could have died, he took out a whole room of people,
mm-hmm. which is the preferred way to do it.
Which is the preferred way to do it when you're surrounded by enemies.
Yes. Yes. If you're naked, surrounded by enemies, by
I don't know why, but a random point in the movie, which I didn't feel the first time I watched it, but the second time,
this one or the first one,
the first one. I haven't watched the second one twice, just the first one.
Obviously.
Oh, shit.
I don't know why y'all's podcast bombed.
It's like, hey, Jerry, would you stop trashing
it? Did not bomb.
It didn't bomb.
We just got busy. We have lives.
I wish you'd bring it back.
People loved us.
I know. I listened. I was your biggest fan.
Oh,
Lord. Anyway, a random moment when Paul and Lady Jessica were in their little tent out in the middle of the desert. And she was trying to console him about something, and he was yelling at her about her making him a freak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know why, but, man, Rebecca Ferguson.
Fergie
Ferguson. Man, she's made incredible. Me feel something whenever he shouted at her and the way she like,
recoiled.
Yes.
And then came back and hugged him. Like, I started tearing up. I don't know why.
See?
I had nothing like that in the second
one. No, Dune 1 was definitely more emotional.
And
that's probably why I like it.
Yes.
But then part 2 was more bad.
Part 2 was absolute. Don't get me wrong. This one is superior in
every other
aspect. Yes. The scale, what's going on, bringing the story to a conclusion. You got all this stuff. Then you have the simple fact, we haven't even touched on this, that all the other empires of this universe are like coming to Arrakis to say, hey, we don't acknowledge Paul Atreides as our emperor.
Duh.
And the movie just ends. So basically, Paul's like, okay, so.
You just watched the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how it ends?
It ends with them in it the just desert.
Ends. Yeah, they all just ends. Yeah. Every one of them just does that.
Yeah.
They just go, wow. They're walking out in the desert.
But when they were making this movie, it was implied that it was just going to be Dune the book, part 1 and part 2, that's it.
Ooh.
But, obviously.
People got creative.
Because he knows, he wants to leave it open.
They left it wide open.
Yeah.
Because there was no closure for any character.
No.
And I feel like...
Johnny went off in the desert.
Rode a worm.
Paul, never see him again.
Mm-mm.
Gurney, he got his kill.
Gurney got his kill. His story kind of is...
Gurney.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Paul kind of killed Harkonnen, but he didn't kill... the emperor.
That's what I was thinking. Like, that was his revenge. Like, he, that's
out of
he,
here.
I'm walking here.
He said, ahead. I'm Christopher walking.
Well, I was just going to say, like, overall, I feel like with the actors and actresses, I felt like they really worked hard and they were dedicated and they really got into character in this movie.
Yeah,
like,
Austin
really felt this movie. Like, they were
hair.
They
his
were
hair.
Passionate.
Have you seen his Austin's hair?
Dude, yeah.
Do you think that they do that thing where they make you bald or they actually shave his head?
I think they shaved his head because his head wasn't big.
That was really weird.
He didn't have that weird, slightly larger than average head.
If he did shave his head, that's amazing.
That makes
me sad.
Because
he was like dedicated to this movie.
Make an AI your hair out of the movie.
That would make
with AI.
Also, a hair grows back extremely quick.
Millie Bobby Brown shaved her head for Stranger Things season 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I just cut my hair like
that's before
a few
AI,
days
though.
Ago. Mm. And it's already.
Wow.
I mean, it goes back quick.
No.
It's just hair.
It's just hair. Hair grows back.
I would shave my head for a few million dollars.
Sorry, guys.
Austin, Dave.
You're paying me $10 million. I'm going to shave my head.
I'll do whatever you want
for
$10 million.
How much did he get paid? Hang on.
Dude, I would
my
shave
eyebrows
my,
would grow back
I will
like
shave,
in a month.
I don't know if I'll shave my eyebrows, though. That's kind of...
Mm. How much?
I mean, they're going to grow back.
I know, but that's
not... Women shave their eyebrows all the time.
I ain't doing that.
And they're freaks.
Paid, dude.
So is there anything we missed?
I was trying to think.
Yeah, like the third quarter of the movie.
According to the statistics list,
too much to cover
by Showbiz Galore for his beyond spectacular performance.
Spectacular.
He got paid $250,000.
Only a quarter?
Only a quarter. Yep.
Wow. $250,000?
Yes.
For that role?
Yeah, that role.
Well, he's not famous enough yet.
He's in Masters
because
of the
he
Air.
Was making that like immediately after Elvis.
Timothy Shyamalan.
He wasn't Disney.
Timothy Shyamalan got paid $3 million. Shendaya got paid $2 million. Rebecca.
You say Shendaya?
Yeah. Rebecca
Zendaya.
Got paid $600. Austin got a quarter.
When they went
hey,
on a strike.
Guess what? Pew, she got $300. She got more than he did. Batista got $1 million. He got more than Butler. Christopher got $200,000 for his. Gurney got $500,000.
Like, how many days of shooting do you get, like, $200,000?
Gurney.
You know, I mean, like, Christopher Walken only had, like, two scenes.
He could have done that in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like,
still, yeah.
That's good for him.
How much do you think the budget was?
$250 million.
I'm thinking you probably just looked this up.
I mean, I did not. I just guessed.
$300 million.
Somewhere around there.
I'm going to say...
That's a big guess for me. I don't know. I'm not good with numbers.
Choose $280.
Okay, I'm very impressed because it's below $200.
Really? What? That's a bargain.
It's $190.
That's a bargain.
Considering
what's its current box office?
X. Oh, it's equal to that.
Oh, Fast and Furious X. Are you comparing all those?
It costs like $300 million, and it looked terrible.
Well, it's because all those wife beaters.
It would have to be. It would have to be low budget because they didn't pay the actors anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
All our budget's going to sand.
You know, Fast X. All them buttholes.
They had to hire the worms.
They had to hire the worms.
Vin Diesel played the worm union.
I should have someone should Jimmy Fallon should interview one of the worms.
LOL.
He goes, we got a great guest for you guys tonight. Oh, this guy's the best. He's the best. We got the worm. We got Shalib.
Shalib.
We got Shalib.
Everybody. It worms the cockles of my heart.
Jimmy dies of laughter. Oh, man.
So did y'all see the popcorn that was the worms?
The popcorn bucket?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did y'all see that?
That was a very hard meme.
Wait, what?
So anyway, yeah, the worm in the bucket, it was very strange looking. So probably not for children. Let's just say that.
The bucket was like the mouth of the worm with like the teeth and everything.
We'll just end it there.
Yeah.
And don't ask any questions, Paige, because I see your mind vigorously working.
It's vigorous.
You'll never figure it out. Stop asking. Quit whirling around.
I'll just Google it.
No.
All right.
Don't image
yours. Google's the answer for everything.
All right. Final thoughts on the worming.
Since I have not gone to the theater this year, this is the favorite movie of the year. First off, because mostly they always dump crappy movies in March. That's how they typically
But that's release. Not really the case anymore.
And now it's not because streaming's killed everything.
Yeah. Used to like February.
February's like, bad.
That's where you dump all your trash. Yeah. But there's been some Fast and Furious's open in March.
Yeah. Well, trash.
I haven't seen the last one.
Me either.
Which one?
Fast, whatever it was.
Fast for.
It was
faster.
It was entertaining.
They're all entertaining.
Okay. Final thoughts on Dune Chardet before you give it a rating?
Oh, I have
Any
to rate it.
Final thoughts?
Of course.
You want me to come back to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know I don't like to be first.
I'll go to Jerry because he's always got thoughts.
My final thoughts?
Final
thoughts. The sound, the visuals, everything about it, the fact that it's a complicated story and it's told in such a way that's easily understandable. Yes, this is going to be one of those movies that's going to be hard to top this year.
I would agree with that sentiment. Also, I like it better than the first one, unlike you.
Yes. They're both.
As much as it didn't have the emotional connection, I still thought this was a feat of cinematography.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
It was amazing.
I agree with you there.
Sound.
I'll have to say, yeah, overall, I thought this movie was incredible. I love the music and how it made me feel like I was like not breathing half the time. I was just it was so intense.
It was engrossing.
Engrossing. Yeah, and the sand, it was so good. It looked good.
She said this movie was tasty.
It would look tasty.
Delicious.
I do like this one better than the first one, even though, like I said, I felt more emotion the first time, but this one was just like, whoa, baddie.
This seemed like more of a spectacle.
A lot was going on and I liked to see it. I like to see it.
1 out of 10 sandworms. Huh? What's your rating?
8.5.
I agree with that. 8. Am I 8? Yep.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Wow.
I couldn't quite give it a 9.
It's good.
I was judging whether I was going to give it a 10 or not.
He's holding back. He had to rein it in.
I had to rein it in.
Back that word.
Okay.
It lost the 1 point for the lack of emotional connection.
If you would have cried.
But otherwise, this movie was.
If Al Shalib had made him cry, it would have been a 10.
Honestly. If we're putting in the cinematography,
which we are,
cinematography, I almost want to go sound, 9. Action.
Okay. So
that's kind of hard.
I gave the first Dune a 10.
What?
I love
the noise
it.
That he makes.
I don't remember what I gave the first Dune. I really liked the
first
Dune.
It was good.
I don't remember what I gave the first one.
This one was freaking amazing.
So it's like, okay, I got to. I think I give it a 7.5.
So low, you are rejected. I have lost our respect.
I don't know. Something about it was incredible. Hey, don't get me wrong.
But it's only a
7.5 is really good.
This is why your podcast failed.
That is really good.
I'm not listening to it. 7.5
is really good.
No, an 8 is really good.
7.5 is
really
good. Okay, it's been average.
Give it an 8, Gabby.
Gabby.
7.5 is too low.
I can't quite give it a 10.
I was literally watching this movie, and about halfway through, I'm like, I mean, it's a spectacle. It's well done. It's obviously quality. I don't feel anything.
He is stretching to make that a 7.5. That's not your truth. Live your truth. What? How do you really feel about it?
7.5 is
no,
it.
No, you don't.
I think that's how he
7.5
feels.
7.5 is not, I watched half of it and didn't feel like I was into it.
Because I'm giving it the quality. It's a quality movie. I acknowledge that with a lot of movies.
I'm thinking about the sound.
It wasn't by any means a bad, boring, slow movie.
I just didn't
feel a connection.
Mind-blowing.
I don't know what to say.
Space nuns.
Space.
Doom thinking Part about- 1 for me just blew my mind.
Austin
Maybe Park. This one, because Doom Part 1 exists, I therefore had, you know, this expectation
Austin,
set.
I want to know what about Doom Part 1 was so great.
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac was good. Yes,
he was attracted heavily to the beard.
You were raving about Part 1.
It was good. Yes,
until you've seen Part 2.
No, I agree. But you act like Part 1 was so much better, and I'm just not seeing that.
I've told you what I liked about Part 1.
I like the granny. Gabby liked the character.
There was more interaction between the Atreides.
The old school gurney, which is Patrick Stewart, has the best line in all the Dune movies, where he says, "Moods are for cattle and love play." That's the best line. It's like the first 5 minutes of the original Dune.
Well, that's when he was training Paul.
He's training, and Paul says, "I'm not in the mood." Patrick Stewart goes, "Moods are for cattle and love play."
I know your footsteps.
Yes.
So this one, first one, there was more interaction, the family feel, you could sense the care among the family and the Atreides house. There was no the mama.
Johnny.
Rebecca Ferguson kind of like,
But they all died. They all died. Johnny and Paul.
I'm going with Irulan.
No, that was at the last 5 minutes of the movie. Listen, I think here's what summarizes it. Because nobody that was good died, you're not emotionally connected to it. There was nobody good in this movie that made a sacrifice and died.
Gabby just wanted everyone to be happy and love each other.
The emotional connections between the characters in the first movie didn't exist in the second.
Chani and
I'd agree with that.
I have to agree with Gobbs. That is true.
We've already said Chani and Shyamalan
didn't have the chemistry,
but it was all so close. We wanted it. We wanted that to work out. Because of the
I'm okay with it not working out
the
too.
Royalty thing. He's gonna have to marry the emperor's hot daughter.
Yeah,
we feel for him.
All right, so that's gonna do it for this.
Is it bad? Okay.
Disagreeable nerd/ reunion.
Four Game Stops.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll do it again for another movie someday.
Right,
Deej.
We got Godzilla vs. Kong coming out.
That's there you go. That's
anybody?
Yeah, we
should totally do
Godzilla,
that.
Godzilla minus one. Have you seen that yet?
No, I have not seen it.
I haven't seen Minus One. I plan on watching it.
No,
but I haven't seen it.
I love Godzilla and
me
I missed
too.
It.
All right.
I watched the TV show with Kurt Russell.
God.
That's a good movie.
My God.
My God. Godzilla.
My Godzilla.
My Godzilla.
Minus.
They need to do a remake, do a crossover where the guy's riding the worm fights Godzilla.
Oh, my.
Al Shalib.
Wormzilla.
Kong versus Worm.
All right.
Godzilla's got worms. It just comes out of him.
Thank you for joining us this episode. I'm Gabby.
I'm Paige / RD. Later, dudes.
This is Jerry.
I'm Deej.
Bye-bye.
I'm not in the mood.
Not in the mood. Mood's a thing for cattle and love play, not fighting.
I'm sorry, Gurney.
Not sorry enough.